Well, a few years ago, I discovered an article, actually it was an op-ed, in Space News, the industry publication, an op-ed where they were talking about where the money should come from. And they said, there's plenty of waste, fraud, and abuse in the entitlement programs. And we are going to train our lobbyists on that. And that is the place we're going to extract the funding for our space plans. Now, let's just, for a moment, dissect what these entitlement programs are. Entitlement programs are Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and what's left of welfare. And now, under the Clinton welfare reform, in your entire life, you can only draw welfare for 4 years. After that, you're finished, you're on the street, you're to the poorhouse. Those are the programs that the aerospace corporations have identified that they are going to defund in order to pay for these space programs. I call it pyramids to the heavens. The aerospace industry are the new pharaohs of our age, building these pyramids to the heavens. And we, the taxpayers, will be the slaves. We will turn over literally everything. Our children's education, environmental cleanup, the entitlement programs. We will turn that over to them and get virtually nothing in return except instability. Bush is now, in addition to his national missile defense deployments, he's now pushing for the testing of the first offensive weapon systems in space. And so this is the direction they're now heading, moving forward with it. Recently, the Pentagon has been complaining that during our shock and awe bombing of Iraq, Iraq had the audacity to try to interfere with our satellite communications via kind of computer technology, just to kind of block, if you will, through, you know, kind of computer dipsy doodles, some of our ability to maneuver. And the Pentagon is furious about it. And the Pentagon is walking around today saying, we told you there would be a Pearl Harbor against our satellites, and Iraq has done it. They have attacked our satellites, and this is an indication that we now must come forward with offensive systems in space so that we can deny other countries access to space by removing their satellites in times of hostilities. So this is what the Pentagon is using today to create the political support in Congress to go forward with offensive weapon systems tests in the heavens that will blow the doors off the barn. Now, at the United Nations, for the past several years, Canada and Russia and China have introduced resolutions calling for a global ban on weapons in space. Close the door to the barn before the horse gets out. And the United States, Clinton, during the Clinton years and now the Bush years, has taken an identical position. There is no problem. Therefore, there's no need to negotiate a global ban on weapons in space. There are no weapons in space today. This is why Bush walked away from the ABM treaty as soon as he came in the office with Russia, because it limited the amount of testing and deployment of so-called missile defense systems. The Missile Defense Agency has just in recent days begun advertising an environmental impact statement for their expanded plans in the coming period. They're going to be holding hearings in very strange places, in Hawaii and Alaska, in Virginia, and in Sacramento. Now, why in God's name, when they're deploying down in Vandenberg, are they going to hold hearings up in Sacramento? But that's what they plan to do next month, begin these hearings. So it's going to be a good time for people to write letters. In a few days, we're going to have on our website all the information about who you can write to and what you should say, those kinds of things. But it's also a good time for people to begin writing letters to the editor during the next month, talking about this is a colossal waste of money. This is going to create a whole new arms race that will only benefit the weapons corporations and is going to create massive global instability. So I hope all of you will try to help write a letter around this particular subject. You know, in case no one noticed, America has a massive fiscal crisis right now. I know in California, your economy is just humming right along. Your state has no problems whatsoever. And I don't know what all that talk about girly men is about, but it doesn't have anything to do with your economy, I'm sure. Well, you know, recently, thank God, I moved out of Florida just in time. Because I think God has become angry at the Bush family. And all these hurricanes, you know. But just the other day, I heard on the national news, someone, oh my God, they'll probably lose their job over this, but someone on the national news said this. Well, they asked this question, where is the money going to come from to clean up all these hurricanes? I'm sure they're going to lose their job. But anyway, the answer was, oh, well, they're going to have to borrow the money because we're in a massive debt, and where are we going to get the money otherwise? So the future generations, on top of everything else, are now going to be paying for the cleanup of the hurricanes. And so at this time, when we have this widening gap between rich and poor in America, we know that 29,000 people at the top of the pyramid in America have the equivalent wealth of 96 million at the bottom. 29,000 at the top have the equivalent wealth of 96 million Americans at the bottom. And so at this moment, when we have such a tremendous national fiscal crisis, is not the time to be undertaking what the Pentagon says will be the largest industrial project in the history of the planet Earth, Star Wars. Well, you know, before long, virtually the only jobs left in America are going to be working for the Pentagon, right? I mean, what's the number one industrial export in America today? That's right. Not shoes, refrigerators, or weapons. And when weapons are your number one export, what's your global marketing strategy? That's right. The more wars, the better. The more weapons you sell. You remember that little EP-3 spy plane incident with China a couple years ago? It was bumping up along the coast, and the Chinese brought it down to Hainan Island. And then they took it apart and sent it home in boxes. You remember that? Come to find out, today on Hainan Island, Lockheed Martin, the same company that built the EP-3 spy plane, is now building a naval reconnaissance system for Communist China on Hainan Island. Now get that. They're working both sides of the street. Yeah. So that's where we are today. Well, and so the military's job today then is not to defend America from attack by who. The military's job today is to go out and prepare. It's like gardening. It's to go out and prepare the soil for corporate globalization. The job of the Pentagon today is to become the military arm of corporate globalization. And that's why we're going to have, in their vision, endless war. Well, the other night I was watching C-SPAN, just 2 weeks ago. It was late at night, and they had this guy on from the Naval War College. He was talking to a room full of officers from all the different services, majors, colonels, stuff like that. And the subject was military in the 21st century. Did any of you see this? The guy's name is Barrett. Well, he really laid out the vision, and it was chilling. And I want to share some of it with you. The new Pentagon vision. He said that what we, the United States, our role in the world in the coming period is going to be the security export leader. What we are going to export to the world, we're going to export security. Not just weapons, but security export, he defined. And what that meant was troops. Troops. Our number one export to the world will be troops to go into what he defined as the gap. The gap is the part of the world that is not taking kindly to corporate globalization. And he defined it, the Middle East, Central Asia, parts of Latin America, and Central Africa. We, in the coming period in the United States, will export security into the gap in order to allow the corporate globalists to control the regions. And if you really look closely at these gap areas, what you find is they are the remaining parts of the world that have oil. He went on to say, talking about Iraq, that in Iraq, we were bad. We went in there and they wouldn't even fight us. Our military was so bad, they ran. We are so tough, nobody in this world can take us on. But, he said, we're not doing the second part very well, the occupation. We're having a bit of trouble with the occupation. And he said, we've got to learn to do this occupation right, because if we're going to pull this off, security export in the coming years, we're going to have to learn how to do occupation, because that's going to be our job in the gap. That's what America is going to do. China, he said, is going to make cars. They're going to make SUVs that are going to sell for $15,000. And this country is going to do this, and this country is going to do that, and the United States, we're going to do security export. So he said we have to transform the military so that they get better, they get a better capability to carry out this new function. And he defined his restructuring concept. And the job of the officers in the audience was to take this back into their various branches of the services and to begin to indoctrinate the lower levels of the military in these new concepts. And he said, if you want to be promoted in the future, if you hope to advance in the coming military, you got to learn this script. So for me, it was another moment like 1982 when I'm listening to, oh, don't worry about it, we're moving into space and they don't have a clue. So I was taking notes fast. And let me give you the two pieces to the puzzle that I think are the most important. He says, instead of the Army, Navy, and the Air Force, and the Marines, we got to have Leviathan and we got to have SysAd. These are the two branches of the military that we have to do, Leviathan and SysAd. Leviathan, he said, is this. Give me your young 18, 19, and 20-year-old angry kids that love to play video games. Give me them. They're going to be our kick-ass Leviathan army that is going to go in and wipe out opposition in the gap. And then after they've succeeded, we get them out of there. And then we bring in SysAd, Systems Administration. Systems Administration, he said, we want more mature people, older people, more diverse people, women, people of color, more educated people, because they're going to be the proconsul of the empire. And their job is going to be to administer the corporate globalist empire. And so they need to be more sophisticated. And right now, we don't have that, he said. And he said, they will never come home. They will never come home. And so today, if you've heard the Bush administration announce that we're closing down some of the big bases in Europe, and we're going to close down some of the 40,000 troops in South Korea, and we're going to begin to establish new, what are called lily pad bases. Lily pad bases, all in the gap regions. Little jumping off bases where we don't even have to stay very long. We set up infrastructure, and then we can just jump from one to the next and put out fires when we need to so that we can control the gap regions in the coming period. And all of this will be tied together, because this is a massive undertaking of deployments and listening and watching and targeting. All of it will be tied together by space technology. It's the only way it can work is with space technology. Space technology that allows you to listen, intercept all phone, fax, and email communications around the world. Satellite technology that allows you to see everything all the time. Satellite technology that allows you to fly little UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles, pilotless planes, flying over Iraq, flying over Palestine, coordinated by computers, people sitting at computer screens. Yes, we see it. Is it Taliban? Is it Al-Qaeda? Is it a wedding? Hit the button. The UAV outfitted with weapons called the Predator fires in real time, split second time, hitting targets on the ground, coordinated back all the way back to Tampa, Florida, at MacDill Air Force Base. It's called increasing the kill chain. That's the plan for the future. And our friends around the world are saying, we don't want these bases in our communities. We don't want to be complicit in our own repression. And we will resist the United States Empire. And then they say to me, what's going on in the United States? What are the American people thinking? What are the American people doing? Do they know about these things? And I say, well, you know, we got some great peace activists in the United States. Look right here in Santa Cruz. You all are on fire. You're great. And there are people like you all over this country, as you know, who are working their hearts out. But we got one problem in America, one real big problem. And it's we are a violent culture. If you look at the fabric of America, think of it as a cloth. Think of the weaving together of America, the cloth of America. From the very first days when Columbus came to the shores and killed the Indians when they didn't have gold, chopped off their hands and arms and legs and killed them because he thought they were lying to them because they surely had gold. And then the extermination of Native American people. I want to read to you just a paragraph. I really felt guilty as I applied the torch to huts that were homes of content until we ravagers came spreading desolation everywhere. Our mission here is ostensibly to destroy, but may it not transpire that we pillagers are carelessly sowing the seeds of empire. Now, who is that saying that? It was a soldier, a veteran from George Washington's army in 1779 that was sent out to remove the Iroquois civilization from New York. As Washington pushed the boundaries of the new American Empire westward to the Mississippi River. So from the very first days, the first weaving together of this nation was violent, was genocidal. And then what followed, of course, was the introduction of slavery in America. And then followed that, the stealing of massive portions of lands from Mexico. And then what followed on and on out into the Philippines and today where we are in Iraq. The creation of the American Empire was done through a bloody cloth. It is inside of every one of us. We are a killer society, a society of killers. AP reported July 16th from Iraq, Captain Will Hickok VI, a relative of the famous Wild Bill, stationed in Iraq with the Army's elite 9th Cavalry Unit, saying this, "This is what I like, just scouting. Sitting out here spying, watching, it's relaxing. It's almost like cowboys and Indians." So there we are today, our country. My name is America. and I'm addicted to war. My name is America, and I'm addicted to violence. My name is America, and I'm addicted to military spending. My name is America, and my Congress is under the control of the military-industrial complex. You know, back in the 80s, following on the, it was a natural progression from the freeze, we moved into the economic conversion movement. With the dissolution of the Soviet Union, we all were talking about the peace dividend. Now's the time. Now we can go and convert the military-industrial complex. But along came King George I, Bush I, and he invaded Panama to go after that one bad guy, remember? Manuel Noriega, the former CIA agent. And we went in and we bombed the entire El Chorrillo neighborhood, killing over 2,000 innocent civilians, burning it to the ground. Why? Because that's what we do. That's the way we are. And then the Persian Gulf War, where we had to go and chase out another bad guy, another ex-CIA agent called Saddam Hussein. And you remember the famous Road to Basra, the highway of death, where we killed numerous people fleeing back into Iraq. And out of that, though, came the end of the talk about economic conversion and the end of the talk about the peace dividend, because now we had a new enemy in Iraq. And during the Clinton years, we kept after that enemy. We kept dropping cruise missiles, and we kept that no-fly zone, and we kept our planes over there, and we built bases in Saudi Arabia, in Bahrain, in Kuwait, and the military-industrial complex kept humming along. Whether it was Republican or Democrat, it just kept humming along. Our economy was benefiting from all this military spending. And there we are today. Well, I think if the peace movement ever wants to succeed, we're going to have to end the military-industrial complex. We're going to have to put economic conversion has to come back onto the table. Because we could stop the Iraq war tomorrow. And I promise you that within a year or so, we'll have another hot war, because we've got to keep the assembly lines moving and humming again to keep the jobs going. Now, where I live in Maine, there are all these textile mills all along the Androscoggin River and the other rivers in the state, these old, beautiful brick mills where they used to make textiles and make shoes. They're all closed down. They're all gone. And the two top employers in the state of Maine today, number one is Bath Ironworks, that builds the Aegis destroyers, that is being outfitted with theater missile defense systems and is going to be parked off the coast of China in order to provoke China to build more nuclear weapons. And then the second top employer in the state is the Brunswick Naval Air Station, where I live in Brunswick. And it's now flying reconnaissance and surveillance missions over Iraq, calling in airstrikes. These EP-3 spy planes, they're based there in Brunswick, where I live. Just last weekend, my partner and I, peace activists don't go demonstrate at the Naval Air Station in Brunswick, we learned when we move there. You don't go there. Small town, 20,000 people. Everybody kind of knows everybody. You'll kind of create turmoil and conflict if you go protest there. Well, they're involved in the Iraq war. How can we ignore it? So my partner Mary Beth and I last weekend said we were going for a 48-hour vigil and fast at the front gate of the Navy base. And we invited people to come and join us if they'd like. Some didn't come, but some did. We had 45 people come and join us. And what we found, amazingly enough, was that some of the GIs, some of the sailors going into that base, agreed with us, gave us the thumbs up, gave us the peace sign, stopped and talked to us for a little while, encouraged us. Two women two women officers in uniform stopped their car and said, "I'm with you guys. I'm voting against Bush." Now, who would have ever known that they were there on that base had we not gone there and stirred it up a little bit? And so we've also undertaken in the state of Maine, I'm the chair of the Peace Action Maine Action Committee, and we now have embarked on a campaign we're calling the Sustainable Maine Economy. And we've decided we're going to do a multi-year campaign educating the people of Maine about how military spending is not creating jobs. Now, everybody in Maine is talking about jobs. Jobs are it's like, you know, a distant cousin. They're gone. But people say, well, you know, we got these two big employers in the state. Well, come to find out, the National Commission on Economic Conversion years ago proved that military spending is capital intensive. For $1 million, yes, you create X number of jobs, but if you invest that same $1 million in any other kind of job creation, in every instance, you create more jobs. So if you convert the military-industrial complex to civilian production, you build rail cars for public transportation, solar, wind, windmills. You know where the windmills are built today? In Denmark. Now, why in the hell can't we build windmills in the United States? Right? Doesn't make any sense at all. So we are starting this campaign in the state of Maine to begin to create dialogue in our state about this and create a demand on the politicians over time that we want our tax dollars, because it's all our tax dollars, we want our tax dollars to do something that's going to give our children a real future. So I'd like to just conclude by saying this. I think America has a broken soul. You remember Martin Luther King, right before he was killed, many people believe he was killed because he came out against the war in Vietnam. He said that any country that spends more on weapons and war than it does on social uplift had reached spiritual death. And he was right. America has a broken soul, and it needs a 12-step program real bad. And if we in the peace movement don't start talking about that, and don't start talking about conversion, and don't start talking about America's broken soul and its broken heart, we'll never, ever change anything. Why isn't it that this campaign that's going on now today, instead of talking about Vietnam, why isn't it talking about Iraq? And why isn't this campaign talking about how our tax dollars should really be spent? And how if we were to get out from under the military-industrial complex, we could have a real good future for the future generations. Let's make that happen, friends, and let's don't ever give up. Thank you very much.